Stop right there. This time around on Coolsville, we go back to the mid-70s where we find a little fresh dairy air. Country music is the theme, specifically outlaw country. Waylon and Willie and Jesse, oh my. Add in Tom Paul Glazer and you have an album for the ages. We're taking a look at a watershed album in country music called Wanted, The Outlaws, here on Coolsville. I'm Andy Steeves. With very few exceptions, I gotta say that I loathe today's so-called country music. To me, it's all just about fast trucks, drinking, and cheating, and that's only the subject matter. In my humble opinion, today's country is like 90s pop music with a deeply annoying twang. It's like nails on a chalkboard. This week we head back to the 70s, where country music took a turn for the better. It's all started when a man who first found fame for his role in an extremely sad moment in rock and roll history gave up his seat to Buddy Holly on February 3rd, 1959, and Holly, the big bopper J.P. Richardson, and Ritchie Valens all died in a plane crash in what was known as the day the music died. Well, if that crash had been all that he had ever been known for, that would have been a sad occasion indeed. Waylon Jennings was a survivor, however, and by the 70s, he had a string of hit singles and albums. I was introduced to old Waylon by my mother and the aunts, who used to get together, get into the beer, and sing a song called Love of the Common People. And it was a song that struck a chord with people who grew up poor but knew a lot of love. His 1976 collaborative record with Willie Nelson and Tom Paul Glazer and also his wife Jessie Coulter, Wanted, The Outlaws, was wildly successful, becoming the first country album to ever go platinum, selling over 1 million copies. Waylon has admitted more than once that he hated the whole concept of it, calling it a marketing gimmick, and even once said that the most outlaw thing that Willie Nelson ever did was come into town and double park on Music Row. Waylon has said that he didn't fit in when he started, and he didn't fit in by the end of it. He said that the record industry had put a label on every artist, and he always hated labels. He said that he always strived to make a Waylon Jennings album. But of course, like pretty much any artist in the music industry will tell you, when PR people and label executives get involved, it becomes more about the marketing than the music. He thought that Outlaw title was the dumbest thing he had ever heard. Except later he admitted in an interview that, in the end, it was really a brilliant move from a purely business standpoint. In a music sense, he explained that the Outlaws were people who made music according to their own vision. They broke with the formula in Nashville. They decided they wanted to use their own songs. They wanted to use the studio musicians that they chose, and not the musicians that the producers chose. And they also wanted to choose their own producers. Willie Nelson attended Baylor University for 2 years, but dropped out because he was succeeding in music. He worked as a disc jockey at radio stations in his native Texas, and in several radio stations in the Pacific Northwest, all the while working as a singer and songwriter through the late 1950s. And during that time, he wrote songs that would become country standards, including Funny How Time Slips Away, Hello Walls for Farron Young, Pretty Paper for Roy Orbison, and Crazy for Patsy Cline. Nelson signed in 1964 with RCA Records and joined the Grand Ole Opry the following year. In 1965, he met Waylon Jennings after a concert, and they became fast friends. Tom Paul Glazer produced an album for Waylon called Honky Tonk Heroes in 1973. It was considered the first real outlaw album. He had previously written songs for Marty Robbins and a big song for Bobby Bear called The Streets of Baltimore. He gained his greatest claim to fame as part of the album Wanted, The Outlaws, with Willie Waylon and Waylon's wife, Jessie Coulter. He contributed a song to the album that was subtitled The Male Chauvinist National Anthem. It was written by Shel Silverstein. It would not go over big these days. It was called Put Another Log on the Fire, and it had its tongue firmly in its cheek. Put another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. Go out to the car and change the tire. Wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby, you can fill my pipe and then go fetch my slippers. And pour me up another pot of tea. Then put another log on the fire, babe. And come and tell me why you're leaving me. Yes, sir. And the other day was International Women's Day. Isn't that wonderful? In Nelson's 1988 autobiography, Willie, Glazer stated, everybody rushed out to buy the Outlaws album. Rock and rollers, kids, lockjaw types from the East, people who had never bought a country album in their whole lives bought that album. Ultimately, I think the outlaw movement, or publicity, or gimmick, whatever you want to call it, did a great thing for country music as a whole because it opened the way for different styles. I'm Andy Steeves. This week we're featuring the first country album to sell a million copies, and it's called Wanted, The Outlaws, on Coolsville. Jesse Coulter married Waylon Jennings in 1969. She had an enormous hit in 1975 with a song called I'm Not Lisa. On the Outlaws album, she did songs such as I'm Looking for Blue Eyes and a remake of the Elvis Presley tune that she did with Waylon called Suspicious Minds, which shot up to number 2 on the country charts. By 1976, the release of Wanted the Outlaws, Coulter was the only one of the four artists to clinch a gold record because of I'm Not Lisa. Collectively, the four artists' songs met and surpassed that mark, creating a commercial smash. It was a cultural, musical, and defining period, Coulter said, of the era that fueled the outlaw country movement and led to Wanted the Outlaws. She also said that it was an unusual project for its time, and how its success wasn't immediately apparent to the four artists who combined forces on it. Gotta admire Jessie's spunk, by the way. She's 80 years old, still alive. She not only just released her 12th album, but she also recently just got remarried. Add Kris Kristofferson to this mix, you began to see particularly Waylon and Willie showing up together on record. It happened all the time, but also the three of them showed up at concert bills as well. It became very common for them to show up, even when Kris was in Hollywood. He always loved having the experience of performing with Waylon and Willie. Though not part of the Outlaws album, Kristofferson would later be part of the 80s supergroup The Highwaymen with Waylon and Willie. This is the way it all kind of came together. Producer Jerry Bradley approached Waylon about compiling some of his recordings with some old Willie Nelson songs and calling it Wanted, The Outlaws. Jennings okayed the project on the condition that a couple of Tom Paul Glazer tracks be included, and the album lineup was complete when they added Jesse Coulter. Waylon decided that Willie needed to come and redo some of his old tracks before the record got cleared to go to the label for publishing, and had him come into the studio to lay down new vocals. That was illegal for a lot of reasons, having to do with publishing rights and all, especially because Willie was no longer with RCA Records, who still owned the rights. He was signed with Columbia Records at the time. Willie had a clause in his contract that few artists had at the time called creative control, meaning he could record with anyone without fear of lawsuit. Waylon had the same clause, by the way. The album consisted entirely of previously released material. The album quickly reached number 1 on the country charts and peaked at number 10 on the pop charts, with two hit singles released, Suspicious Minds and Good Hearted Woman. They were both duets. Their music didn't conform to the country norm of songs of divorce and alcohol and life's other miseries, wrote Chet Flippo in the album liner notes. At the time, Flippo was New York bureau chief for Rolling Stone magazine. He would become senior editor a year later. On the original LP, Jennings performed My Heroes Have Always Been Cowboys and Honky Tonk Heroes, among others, and a live version of Waylon and Willie doing Good Hearted Woman. The song became a number one hit for the pair. The album received a 20th anniversary CD reissue in 1996 featuring 10 bonus songs, but it's those original 11 songs that helped make country music history. Along with the so-called outlaws previously mentioned, other songwriters had this mantle thrust upon them. Mickey Newberry wrote an American trilogy for Elvis. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, thank you very much. In 1968, Newbery saw a huge success with four, count them, four top five songs across four charts, including Just Dropped In to See What Condition My Condition Was In by Kenny Rogers and the First Edition, which peaked at number five on the pop charts, Sweet Memories, number one on Easy Listening by Andy Williams, Time is a Thief on the Rhythm and Blues chart, it hit number one as well for Solomon Burke, and Here Comes the Rain, Baby, number one on the country chart for Eddie Arnold. This feat has never been repeated. Jerry Jeff Walker wrote hundreds of songs. The most popular was a song recorded by everyone from Sammy Davis Jr. to the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band called Mr. Bojangles. We'll also mention Townes Van Zandt, known for the song Poncho and Lefty that was a huge hit for Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson. He's also one of my nephew Andrew Byers' all-time faves. You've been listening to Wanted, the Outlaws on Coolsville. I'm Andy Steves. Special thanks goes to the royalty-free music site Upbeat for the music I use each week. Thanks so much for listening. Please hit the follow button on Spotify and leave me a comment or suggestion, will ya? I really love that. Share the program on Facebook, si vous plaît. May God wrap his arms of love around you and yours, and Larry Gidney. We'll meet again. See you next time for Coolsville.